In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wisdom calls aloud outside. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. This is the text. Wisdom versus simplicity. It is an uncommon pairing, is it not? Especially in our day and age now, when we read of a new simplicity movement. Perhaps you have heard of that. People who are choosing voluntarily to be underemployed, people who are choosing to drive rather than to walk, people who are choosing to work part-time or at home instead of going all out for the big bucks, choosing to live simply even though they might be able to afford to live extravagantly. Now, that kind of simplicity actually sounds pretty wise, doesn't it? But no, this is not the simplicity of which our Lord speaks in this text and which he rails against. The simplicity that the Lord speaks of here is actually quite complex. The many manifold ways in which man thinks he is wise in his own eyes. You think you're so smart. You think you're so darn smart. I guess I first heard that from my brother, 3 years younger than I, when I was 12 or 13. We had a huge argument. I can remember it vividly, but I will spare you the details. What my brother said to me at that time were words of law, because I did think that I was pretty darn smart and had all the answers. Have you ever caught yourself thinking about how talented, wise, gifted, and smart you are, perhaps even in the midst of Summer Creek? The truth is that we, in each of our own ways, do think that we're pretty wise, pretty smart. Why, just think of all the wonderful, clever ways in which you wrapped up business at home before coming here. Think of how you worked with your finances so cleverly and astutely to get everything in order. Think of how you came into Fort Wayne, consulted with Betty Wacholson, and made just the right housing decision. Think of how now you're getting your study system down to a routine, family relationships ordered, so you can go A, B, C, D, and plot along and finally come up with nothing but A's at the end of the summer sessions. And fellow professors, just in case you think you're not included, just think of how cleverly we have worked to arrange our, quote, teaching and business trips to coordinate with our vacation trips. Now, perhaps I have overstated things somewhat in these examples, but clearly the sinner within us thinks that we're pretty wise. Just think about the time you spend thinking about yourself and your life and what you are going to do and what your plans are for the day, rather than others and rather than God's. We think that we're wise in marital matters, wise in family matters, that we're wise as pastors, that we're wise in the study of Greek, that we're wise in controlling our own futures. But clearly, let's hear what God calls that in this text. He calls it nothing but simplicity. You see, ever since Adam and Eve came up with that very simple answer, we can be like God if we partake of this forbidden fruit. Ever since then, man's wisdom has been foolishness. Our wisdom is the wisdom of a simpleton. Rightly in our text, God calls us sinful men simple-minded. Well, if all of our best thoughts and actions are but simplicity, then what is this wisdom which our text speaks of. What is this chokmah in the Hebrew? Is it a great philosophy? Is it a great worldview? Is it a great transcendental state that we must achieve? Is it even simply a matter of just God's law and obedience to His law? Or is it something else? Is it perhaps a matter of the gospel rather than the law? You see, as we move beyond the first chapter of Proverbs and we get further into the book, and especially as we come up to chapter 8, we begin to realize that wisdom is not just a personification of all sorts of desirable, wonderful qualities, characteristics, and attributes. Wisdom is not just an idea. But no, in chapter 8 we see clearly that wisdom is a person. In the words of theologians, and you will come to understand and enjoy this, wisdom is a hypostasis. We hear in that 8th chapter of Proverbs that wisdom is the master craftsman present at creation itself. We hear that only by wisdom do kings and princes reign. We hear that wisdom is the delight of the Heavenly Father. We hear that wisdom is established from everlasting, being uncreated. We hear that wisdom was there from the beginning, before there was an earth. And most significantly, we hear that wisdom delivers from the way of evil. Did you hear that? Wisdom delivers from evil. Wow! How can wisdom be anything else but Christ Himself, the pre-incarnate Christ? In 1 Corinthians 1, we are told that Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. In Colossians 2, we are told that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. You see, the wisdom of God the Father is incarnate in God the Son. His incarnation, His perfect life, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, they are all His wisdom for you and for me. His wisdom calling us to faith through baptism. His wisdom incorporating us into Himself as we partake of His body and blood. His wisdom as He has established this wonderful office of the holy ministry to be certain that our ears hear His words, forgiving us, absolving us. You see, our loving Heavenly Father saw our simplicity, our sinful efforts to redeem ourselves, to figure things out ourselves under the law. And He gave us exactly what we needed, true wisdom, His Son. So, having been baptized into Christ, having been given Christ, you have the wisdom of God. And in Him you reject worldly wisdom, for worldly wisdom is nothing but simplicity. Worldly wisdom, as our text says, leads only to terror, calamity, and destruction. Instead, in Christ, our true wisdom, we continue to live as His Spirit is poured out upon us through word and sacrament, as we are sustained by the wisdom of God, which is Christ Jesus Himself. What a joy and what a blessing that we have been given wisdom, Jesus Christ, wisdom to live in, wisdom to die by, wisdom for all times. In Jesus' name, amen.